Without further ado and without further of me, Alhamdulillah, let's go ahead and invite our dear brother, Sheikh Muhammad Hussein from the breezy tropical island of Trinidad and Tobago to address the believers tonight in this commemoration of the Shahadat of the ninth divinely appointed Imam, the martyrdom of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali At-Taqi alayhi salam, with a loud salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. A kind request for the brothers to please move forward a bit. Thank you very much, Saeed, for the invitation to read the news. I was actually coming to read the news if you could give the speech. Salaam ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا أسألكم عليه من أجر إلا مودة في القربى صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات Please recite the salawat for the first Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. A second salawat for his two sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. And with your Lord's voices, a salawat for the last Imam, Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman. Dear guests, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The verse that was recited is from the 42nd surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Shura, verse number 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, where he says, "Qul la as'alukum alayhi min aj illa." He says, I don't ask of you anything except the love of the qurba, or my near relatives. Now, mufassirin have given different tafasir concerning this verse. They say, what is the meaning of qurba? Now, we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we know that the qurba is Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hazrat Fatima salamu alayha, and their children. One commentator from the Ahl Sunnah, his name is Fakhreddin Razi, he also came to the conclusion that Qurba in this ayah is the family of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Now, what was the reason for this revelation? The Holy Prophet, as we know, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spread the message. He brought the Holy Quran. He invited people to Tawheed. He took them out of Jahiliyyah. Now at that time, the people in Medina, they wanted to thank the Holy Prophet for all that he has done, for taking them out of Jahiliyyah, bringing the Holy Quran. And they wanted to give him some kind of gift. So they said, okay, what can we do? Let's gather some money. Let's gather some of our resources and let's give the Holy Prophet a gift for what he has done to us. The Holy Prophet said, no, I don't want anything from you guys, just the love of my qurba. Now tonight, we commemorate the death of our ninth Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, Imam Muhammad At-Taqi Al-Jawad. Now, why did I choose this verse speaking about the love for the Ahlul Bayt? It is because this Imam, he faced so many difficulties, not just from the people who were not Shia, but strangely enough, he faced difficulties from those that were Shia. The Shia of Muhammad Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not easily accept the ninth Imam, unfortunately. Why? Because he had certain conditions that we will speak about in a bit. Now from the verse, it says mawadda. It doesn't say hubba, or hope, which means love. But the English translation, both of them say love. But in Arabic, mawadda is a different type of love to hope. Mawadda, it's an extreme love, a love without any conditions. Now I may say, ana uhibbuk, I love you. But if you tell me to jump in the fire, I would say, I love you, but not to that extent. But mawadda, when you have mawadda, that type of extreme love for the Ahlul Bayt, anything that they say, you accept. Because it's an extreme love, it's a deep love. Now the ninth Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he had certain conditions, okay, in his life. The first one being, he was the youngest Imam of Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Imam Jawad alayhi salam was born on the 10th of Rajab in the year 195 after Hijrah. And he died on the 29th of Dhulqa'dah, 220 after Hijrah. Which means that the holy Imam only lived for 25 years. He's the youngest of Ali Muhammad. 25 years this ninth Imam lived for. Now imagine a young boy, 25 years. How long was his imama? Now we go back to the point where we said that Imam Jawad alayhi salam had certain conditions that the people didn't readily accept him. The first one being his age. Imam Jawad alayhi salam became an imam at the age of 7 or 8 years old, when his holy father, Imam Reza alayhi salam, died. When he died, Imam Jawad alayhi salam was only 7 or 8 years old. And Imam Reza himself, he had Imam Jawad when he was already an old man. He was already in his late 40s. And people will come to him and they will say, Ya Abna Rasulullah, aren't you going to have a son? Aren't you going to have a son? Aren't you going to have a son? Who is going to lead us after you die? And he was already 45, 46 years old, and he didn't have a son, so people were worried. They were saying, okay, is the eighth Imam the last Imam? Are we not going to have anyone after Imam Reza alayhi salam? And people were worried, and they were saying, even if you have a son, by the time you die, he will be really young. Now, how can we follow someone who's really young? It's strange. So, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they were a bit skeptical concerning Imam Jawad alayhi salam because he was a young boy. Now, that's the first condition that we said. Now, the second condition was Imam Jawad alayhi salam was dark-skinned. Let me say that again. Imam Jawad alayhi salam was dark-skinned. Now, he changed the entire norm that was everyone was accustomed to when it came to the Ahlul Bayt. Imam Reza alayhi salam, he married a woman from Africa. Her name was Sabika, or some narrations say Khaisuran. Imam Reza alayhi salam married this woman from Africa. He had a son who looked African, and a son who became Imam at the age of 7 or 8. Now let me ask you a question. I'm being frank with you, every one of you. If a child at the age of 7 or 8 years old with dark skin comes up to you and says, I am your leader. A child, one of these kids in the hall, 7 or 8 years old, with dark skin comes up to you and says, I am your Imam. Now, be honest with yourself, brothers and sisters. What would your reaction be? Okay, let's be frank. Would we readily accept this boy? Would we say labaik, ya imam? We would say, you know, wait. You at 7 years old, you haven't studied anywhere, you're still young, you haven't reached the age of puberty, and you want to teach me about Islam? And on top of that, he didn't look like the other imams before him. The color of his skin was different. Imam Riza alayhi salam was trying to show us here, brothers and sisters, that racism, discrimination in Islam has no place. Of course, Imam Riza alayhi salam, he knew what he was doing by marrying this woman from Africa. He knew that his son would not be accepted. But he wanted to show us that in the Ahlul Bayt, everyone is welcomed. Everyone across the board, there are no exceptions when it comes to the school of Ahlul Bayt. Whether you're tall, short, black, white, yellow, everyone is welcome into this school. So Imam Jawad alayhi salam had these two conditions. He was really young and he was dark-skinned. And people didn't want to accept him. But what made him stood out was his knowledge. When he spoke, the words that came out of his mouth, people realized that, okay, this was not an ordinary man, an ordinary boy. The words that he spoke were from a divine inspiration. Whenever he spoke the words of the Holy Quran. So one day someone came to him and he said, Ya Abna Rasulullah, you know, your grandfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was in his 30s when he was appointed Imam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, they were 20s, 30s, but you are 7, 8 years old. You know, I can't accept it. Imam Jawad alayhi salam immediately recited a verse from the Holy Quran. He said, don't you remember the story of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam when he spoke from the cradle? He was only 2 or 3 years old. And he spoke. He said, Ana Abdullah, I am a servant of Allah, wa atani al-kitab, wa ja'alna nabiyya, and I was given the scripture, and I was made a prophet, and you accepted Jesus as your prophet, so why don't you accept me as your imam? Then someone else came to him. He said, you don't look like your grandfathers, the imams before you. Imam Riza, Imam Musa, Kazim, maybe the color of their skin was different. Again, Imam Jawad alayhi salam went to the Quran, Surah Hujarat, verse number 13. Ya ayyuha al-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. O mankind, we created you from men and women. And we created for you tribes and races. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noblest and pious of you, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the what? The ones with taqwa. It's not about race. So immediately, the people started to realize that Imam Jawad alayhi salam was not an ordinary person. How can a boy at 7 or 8 years old have this kind of knowledge, speaking the words of the Holy Quran? So someone may say, okay, Imam Ali alayhi salam got Imam in his 30s, Imam Sadiq in his 20s and so forth. It's easy for someone to say these guys studied somewhere. These guys memorized something. And then they proclaim the imamah. But what can you say about a boy who's 7 or 8 years old? Where did he study? Which university did he go to? What did he memorize? Can someone memorize the entire Quran at that young age? Can someone have all this knowledge? And that was another misconception. And unfortunately, we have this misconception today. We have the idea about imamah that it's some kind of attaining like a degree, like a master's degree, or someone has to be elderly, you know? You go to school, you study for 4 or 5 years, you attain a madrak, and you say, I am an imam. No, the imams of Ahlul Bayt, they had ilm ladunni. They had divine inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could have been whatever age they were. And as I said, the prophethood was given to Prophet Jesus alayhi salam at a young age. Now, It was really difficult for his father, Imam Riza alayhi salam. Someone coming to you, asking you these questions about your son, and you know, you have to defend your son, okay? Why did you marry this woman from Africa? How does your son not look like you? Ya Abba Abdullah, we want to accept him, but you know, he looks a bit different. So the caliph at the time, Ma'mun, who was also responsible for the death of Imam Riza alayhi salam, he was a smart guy, he was a politician. And he wanted Imam Jawad alayhi salam to be under his leadership, you know, so that he could get votes and these kinds of things. So he invited the Imam to Khorasan, which is called nowadays Mashhad. And narrations say one day the holy Imam, he was playing in the street with some of his friends, and Ma'mun comes with his entourage. So imagine this big entourage coming, passing through the street, and all these children, they scatter, they run away. Except one, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he stays right there. So Ma'mun looks at him and he says, "You, boy, why did you not run away when you saw me? He said, "What have I done for me to run away? And the road is wide enough for you to pass. And I also know that you will not punish someone who hasn't done something wrong." He looked at him and he said, "What's your name?" He said, "Muhammad, son of Ali." At that point, Ma'mun realized that this was a member of the Ahlul Bayt, not an ordinary person. Anyway, the story goes on. Ma'mun and his entourage, they continue. I think they were going hunting or something like that, narration say. So Ma'mun, he goes hunting, and you know the custom of these rich caliphs in the day, that they had these birds or these hawks, really expensive hawks, and they would send them to hunt for them. So Ma'mun had this expensive hawk on his shoulder, and he sent him to hunt. He sent up the hawk to hunt. The hawk caught a fish and came back and gave it to Ma'mun. So Ma'mun put the fish in his hand, and on his way back, they passed the same way that they went. And again, they saw the same kids again playing in the street. So Ma'mun stopped again. And the kids again, they ran, they scattered when they saw Ma'mun. Except Imam Jawad alayhi salam. So Ma'mun looked at him and he said, "Young boy, you seem pretty knowledgeable. Tell me, what's in my hand? What's in my fist?" Now listen to the reply of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies and the earth, and he created rivers. And in the rivers there are small fish. And the hawks of kings take the fish and bring it back to the kings. And the kings take the fish and put it in their hand and ask the son of Ali Muhammad, what's in my fish? What's in my hand?" Allahu Akbar.
Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat.
Allah. Ma'mun was astounded. He was speechless. He said, "This boy, I want you to come with me to my palace. I want you under my watch 24/7. You are not an ordinary boy." So Ma'mun took the young Imam Jawad to his palace, and there his reputation began to grow, because people now started to realize that they could come to him with certain questions and he would have the answer to it. Initially, they didn't want to accept him because he was young, because he was black. But now, because of his knowledge, and his knowledge, brothers and sisters, was a blessing and a curse for the young Imam, which we'll come to later on. So his popularity grew in the palace of Ma'mun, and Ma'mun would organize these debates between the scholars. You know, he would invite these scholars and he would say, "You scholars, you can come. Ask any question you want. Imam Jawad alayhi salam is here. He will answer the questions." But as I said, the knowledge of Imam Jawad alayhi salam was also a curse for him. Why? Because all of these scholars under the rule of Ma'mun, they were beginning to look very small compared to a young boy. You know, imagine nowadays we say, "You are taking away my spotlight." Okay? So imagine you have these big ulama, ulama-i-bazurg, and they are giving fatwa, they're giving tafsir. And then you have a young boy, he's 7 or 8 years old, coming and giving answers and fiqh and tafsir better than all of them. Obviously, they would say, what's going on? You know, they complain to Ma'mun. They say, this young boy, he's stealing our spotlight. But Ma'mun was smart, as I said. Ma'mun knew that, okay, if the people were attracted to Imam Jawad alayhi salam and he was under his rule, he would get votes from the people. And the people would say, okay, Ma'mun, you are doing a good job protecting this young Jawad. So, Ma'mun, he proposed for Imam Jawad alayhi salam to marry his daughter. Okay, his daughter, her name was Bumul Fadl. Because he wanted to have a grandson from the line of Ali Muhammad. And he said, if I marry my daughter to Imam Jawad alayhi salam, I will get children and they will be members of the Ahlul Bayt. But the ulama at that time, they came and they said, Ma'mun, you know, this young boy, he's knowledgeable, but you can't give your daughter to him because he knows more than us. No one will take us seriously again. And he's dark skinned. You know, what are you really doing? You want offspring who are dark skinned? Ma'mun said, don't worry about it. Don't worry, I have a plan. He said, okay, you don't want my daughter to marry Imam Jawad alayhi salam? Let's have a debate. If Imam Jawad alayhi salam wins the debate, he gets to marry my daughter. If not, then you guys can continue and I'll get rid of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. So Ma'mun, he organized the debate in his courtyard. Now Ma'mun, he was a really rich caliph, okay? He had a big courtyard. So on the day of the debate, narrations say over 900 seats were designated just for the scholars of that community. 900 seats. Some of the best ulama you could find in Baghdad, all of them came to challenge the young Imam Jawad alayhi salam. So everyone was anxious. They wanted to know, you know, what's going to happen. So there was this man by the name of Yahya bin Ahqam. He at the time was the chief justice for Ma'mun. Now at that time, the chief justice was the one who was most knowledgeable in fiqh. So he stood up and he said, I'm going to ask Imam Jawad alayhi salam a question about fiqh. Because at that time, even until today, questions of fiqh, they're a bit, you know, they're not sadar sadi. We have some shubahat when it comes to questions of fiqh. So he said, okay, I'm going to ask the young Imam Jawad a question about fiqh, and he won't be able to answer it, and I'll trap him, and I'll show everyone that I am better than the holy Imam. So Yahya bin Ahqam, he stood up. Now at that time, the hall became really quiet. You could hear like a pin drop. He stood up and he said, he looked at Ma'mun. He said, Ma'mun, do I have the permission to ask young Imam Jawad a question? Ma'mun looked at him and he said, well, the Imam is right there. You go ahead and ask him yourself. Why are you asking me? So he looked at Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He said, Muhammad, Imam Muhammad al-Taqi, do I have the permission to ask you a question? He said, Tafadhal, bifarlam. He asked him, he said, what's the atonement for someone who hunts prey while he's just in the state of ihram? What's the kafara that he has to pay, atonement? Now Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he sat and he didn't answer immediately. He thought about the question. Now Yahya, he looked around, he said, bah, you see, I got him. I caught him. You guys say he's knowledgeable. You guys say he has a lot of ill, but he can't answer this question. What's the kafara for someone who hunts prey while he's in the state of ihram? But this is the son of Ali alayhi salam. What do you expect? Imam Jawad alayhi salam got up and he said, your question is totally vague and unclear. Because I myself have some questions to ask you before I can answer your question. He said to him, was the man who killed the prey, was he inside the haram or outside the haram? Was he an old man or a young man? Was he regretful of his sin or was he ignorant of his sin? Was the prey a bird or was it another animal? Was it big? Was it small? All of these questions, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, about 16 or 17 questions, before he answered that question, he asked Yahya. Yahya was again speechless. He said, I myself can't answer these questions. And everyone in the hall, they said, Takbir, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Everyone realized that this young boy, he had divine knowledge. He had divine intervention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the story continued that Ma'mun gave his daughter to marry Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As the years passed by, the people of the community and the Shias of the community would come to Imam Jawad alayhi salam to seek, you know, beneficence from his great knowledge. Even though by this time he was in his teens, he was a young boy still, the Shias would come to him, even the non-Muslims and those who were not Shia would come and benefit from the knowledge of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Now his wife, Umul Fazl, who was the daughter of Ma'mun, for years and years they were trying to have a son. As I said before, Ma'mun wanted a son from the Ahlul Bayt. But this Umul Fazl, apparently she was not fertile and could not give birth to children. So Imam Rizal alayhi salam, he went and married other women and he had children. Another woman, which is where the 10th Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, came from. But he was still married to this Umul Fazl. Now when Imam Jawad alayhi salam went out and married these other women, obviously, you know, naturally, the woman became jealous and hurt. And she herself realized that she couldn't have any children. So she is saying, okay, this marriage doesn't make any sense to me. I can't have children with him. He's living so piously. I used to live in a big palace with my dad. Now I'm living simply with the son of Ali Muhammad. So she's saying, okay. She had this jealousy in her heart. She's saying, okay, this doesn't make sense. I need to get out of this. And at that time, the other ulama of the community, they used this opportunity because they themselves wanted to get rid of Imam Jawad alayhi salam because he was taking their spotlight. So as the years went on, Ma'mun, he was no longer the caliph. There was another caliph by the name of Mu'athim. Now he didn't have much interest in Imam Jawad alayhi salam, but he was listening to the foot soldiers in the community. And they were telling him, Mu'athim, we need to get rid of this Imam Jawad alayhi salam. What can we do? Let's come up with a plan to get rid and kill Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Thank you very much. So they said, okay, the only way we can kill this Imam is through his wife. And she herself wasn't interested in the marriage, she was jealous, and so on and so forth. They said, okay, we're going to administer him poison. They told Umul Fazl, who was the wife of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, they told her to go and get the strongest poison you could find at that time in Baghdad. Umul Fazl went out and she got the poison. And narrations say, one day the holy Imam came home, and which was the custom of the Ahlul Bayt, he was fasting, and he came to break his fast. And Umul Fazl gave him a bowl of grapes. Some narrations say a bowl of food, and it was filled with poison. Now at that point, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, when he ate the first grape, narration say his body started to feel warm immediately. The organs inside his body began to melt. Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he looked at Umul Fazl and he said, what have you done? What have you done to me? Why did you give me this poison? Narration say Umul Fazl she walked out of the room, she locked the door. She locked the door behind the holy imam so that he would not be able to come out. He would not be able to get any water. At that point in time, blood started to gush from the nose and the ears of the holy imam. He started to vomit out his liver. The problems faced by the Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters, is not ordinary problems. When we look at the lives of the holy A'imma, all of them suffered tremendously. Imam Jawad alayhi salam, his body was filled with the poison given to him by his wife. His eyes were bleeding. Nostrils and his ears. There was no one in the house at the time to help the holy imam. Narration said he went to the door, he tried to open the door, but he was so weak that he fell down. The poison was going through his holy body. Imam Jawad alayhi salam, what did he do? He tried to go up to the roof of the house to call for help. But he was so weak. He went to the top of the house on the roof, and the narration said, فَوَقَعَ عَلَى وَجْهِكَ يَغْشِيَ. He fell on his face unconsciously. Narration says that the holy imam alayhi wasalam lay on the ground for 3 days. The sun burning his body, because that time he was on the roof. He was exposed to the sunlight, the heat of the sun. One narrator tried to compare the death of Imam Jawad alayhi salam to Abu Abdullah. Because Imam Jawad alayhi salam lay in the sun in Baghdad, he tried to compare Imam Jawad alayhi salam being in the sun for 3 days to Abu Abdullah laying on the sands of Karbala. But I have one question for that narrator. Abu Abdullah alayhi salam lay on the plains of Karbala. Brothers and sisters, take your hearts to Karbala. Take your hearts to Karbala. We haven't been there for a year or two because of Corona. Inshallah, this year we can visit Abu Abdullah. We can go to Arba'een. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein lay on the ground of Karbala. He lay on the ground, but the only difference between Abu Abdullah and Imam Jawad alayhim as-salam was that one Imam had his head on his body and one Imam was decapitated. They took his head to Sham. They left his body in Karbala. The narrator said, Imam Jawad alayhi salam lay in the sun like Abu Abdullah. But after 3 days, Imam Hadi came and he gave a kafan to Imam Jawad alayhi salam. I'm asking you, narrator, that Abu Abdullah have a coffin to cover his body. He lay on the ground in Karbala, on the hot sands of Karbala. The horses trampled the holy body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. They say they could not recognize the body of Abu Abdullah. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he came back to bury the bodies, he said, Aina Abi, where is my father? I don't recognize him. His limbs are here, his limbs are there. Arrows are in his body, I don't recognize him. But they compare the death of Imam Jawad alayhi salam to the death of Abu Abdullah. Take your hearts to Karbala, brothers and sisters. Abu Abdullah leaves Medina for Karbala in a few days. The holy month of Muharram is approaching. It's a chance for us to recalibrate our compass. Muharram puts everything in perspective. Everything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ أَنْ يَنْقَلِبِينَ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَآكِبَةِ الْمُتَّكِينَ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, to bless the organizers of this program, to forgive the sins of us and the sins of our parents. We have some brothers and sisters in this community who are sick from the COVID. Let's recite the ayah of Shafa for them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'a wa yakshifu al-soo. Amma yujibu al-muttarra. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. By the right of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Bless our parents and bless the children, because they are the ones who will carry on these programs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry each and every one of us home safely. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Suratul Fatiha, but before that, the loudest of your salawat.